Martin Luther is certainly the most important German Christian who has ever lived. He was born in 1483 and brought up in a strict working class Roman Catholic family. His intellectual ability was recognized very early on, and by 18 he had graduated from the University of Erfurt with a BA degree, and then when he was 21 with an earned MA degree. His father wanted him to be a lawyer, and he started the studies, and then there was a sudden convulsion in his life. He came face to face with death. A close friend was catapulted into eternity, and within 15 days from that tragedy, a very frightened Martin Luther joined a monastic order with the determination that he was going to save his own soul. He was 21. Now, if ever somebody could have got right with God by the rigorous pursuit of religion, it was Luther. He was forever examining himself, looking for sins, going to confession and bringing to the priest lists of what the priest thought were trivial sins. He punished himself by arranging to have his back whipped. He had prolonged set periods of prayer. He slept little at night on his stone bed. He wore a horsehair vest. And eventually he fasted so much that he collapsed. He was ordained as a Roman Catholic priest when he was 23. And part of his work was to lecture on the Bible at the local university. In due course, he could recite from memory all the New Testament and a great deal of the Old Testament. In addition, he became a very powerful and persuasive preacher who attracted crowds. Age 28, his ability was again recognized. He became Dr. Martin Luther, professor of theology at Wittenberg University. That's a place about 60 miles southwest of Berlin. Yet he was still in the spiritual wilderness. In 1517, when he was 33, he became upset by the sale of indulgences. With the Pope's approval, a friar was going round playing on a superstitious people's fear of purgatory. Now, as you know, purgatory is a Roman Catholic teaching. It's not in the Bible, and it's said to be the place everybody has to go to before reaching heaven. Friar would beat a drum in the marketplace, and in his sales talk he'd tell people how they could release souls from purgatory into heaven by cash payment. As soon as the coin in the coffer rings, the soul from purgatory springs, was what he was saying. Still on his journey to scriptural truth, Luther wrote 95 theses criticizing what was going on. Within a fortnight, those 95 theses were all over Germany, and within a month they were all over Europe. It was as though 95 missiles were aimed at the Vatican. He was ordered to appear before the Emperor, Charles V, at a council, or diet as they called it in those days, at Worms. Here was to occur the most important day in Luther's life. He was 37, and unknown to himself, he was about to change the course of history. He was asked to take back the errors he'd been teaching, and after 24 hours of prayer, and knowing now that the gospel he believed was at stake, he said, "Unless I am convinced by Scripture, I cannot and I will not recant anything, for to go against conscience is neither right nor safe. God help me. Here I stand, I can do no other. Amen." He felt so alone in front of the men who held all the worldly power possible. But the English representative in that meeting, Bishop Tunstall, told Henry VIII when he got back home that at that moment, 100,000 Germans would have laid down their lives for Luther. That man at least had the perception to see that something dramatic was about to happen. And as we now know, it was to be the most massive spiritual awakening since apostolic times. At this point, it was possible Luther could have been burnt alive, but friends had arranged for him to escape to a safe house. It was a castle in Saxony. Here he grew his hair, changed his name for a while, wore normal clothes, spent his time translating the New Testament into German. And he was there over 10 months, and he had plenty of time to reflect on God's dealings with his own soul. He'd always been puzzled about how the revelation of the righteousness of God could be called good news or gospel. Suddenly, he had seen that the gospel is the good news, that in Christ and by faith, God gives or reckons or imputes the righteousness demanded by the law, and thus by grace through faith the believer receives Christ's righteousness, and of course is set free from the treadmill of always having to do enough to get right with God. The Pope excommunicated him. From now on, he was an outlaw. But the gospel was sweeping through Europe. Tens of thousands were being converted to Christ. Luther returned to Wittenberg to preach. He wrote major commentaries. He taught in the university, and he organized the expanding church as best he could. When he heard the word Lutheran, he was horrified. It was the word that did it all, he said. I use the word of God like a hammer to smash the error to pieces. And then in 1525, he married Katie. She was a 26-year-old former nun. And his newly converted parents were at the wedding. Now, what an encouragement to those of you who think your parents will never come to know the truth. Luther and Katie had 6 children. His character was a combination of opposites. He could be righteously angry, he could lose his self-control, he could be like a volcanic fire. And then the other side of him, you see, when his daughter Lena died young, and he looked into the coffin and he said, "My darling Lena, you will rise again and shine like the sun. I am happy in my spirit, but broken in my flesh." And actually, his flesh was more broken than he realized. Dr. Gaius Davis has studied his ailments. He had bladder and kidney stones. He had such severe kidney failure after he was 47 that Davis thinks that if he'd lived today, he'd have been on dialysis. He had frequent panic attacks. He had severe angina and bouts of depression. And yet those who knew him closest estimated that he spent 3 hours at least every day in private prayer. And in 25 years, he wrote enough to fill 55 large modern volumes. Like Calvin, he is an ocean in this sense. The achievements are so vast in extent, and their writings and commentaries are so various and so deep that you never seem to come to the end of what's useful. Arguably, they may well be the most important Christians who have ever lived. His greatest literary achievement was the German Bible, which has had an influence over there as big as the King James translation has had over here. And he even wrote the music for its 24 hymns. He was 62 when he died in 1546. It's good, really, that Luther and Calvin had faults. It stops anybody idolizing them, but to read their lives is in itself spiritually exhilarating. It's like a tonic. May God enable us to strike blows for Christ in our own ways, of course, as they did.